Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
We've been doing this series called Newborn, and the whole idea is that Jesus said that you got to be born again to enter into heaven. But I told you in the very first message about somebody. See, there you go again, still throwing cups. And so I told you in the very first message that that a midwife one time was asked, when is a baby born? Like, when is a baby actually born? And they said, well, one midwife said, well, whenever the baby comes out of the womb. And another midwife said, well, whenever the umbilical cord is cut. And another one said, well, whenever the baby is washed off. And they just had all, whenever they take their first breath. And so they talked about all these different aspects of when a baby is actually technically born. And so we started talking about how whenever Jesus said you must be born again, that there are different aspects or different actions that come along with being born again. That it's not just one thing. It's four things that are operating in the life of a person to become born again. And sometimes those four things happen instantaneously. Sometimes those four things happen over a process of time. But there are four aspects of being born again. And so we've been talking about those four things. We said first you've got to believe, and then you've got to repent, and then we said you've got to be baptized. Well, today we're coming down to the fourth one, and that is receive the Spirit. And so Jesus says this in John chapter 3, verse 5. He says there's two births that have to happen. There's two births that have to happen in the life of a Christian. He says, I assure you that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. And so Jesus says there's two things going on here. You've got to be born of the water and you've got to be born of the Spirit. Born of the water, we already talked about that. That's that new birth as far as baptism goes. The old man goes down, the new man comes up. We talked about that last week, born of water. And what's happening is this process that Jesus takes us through is essential to our life. Because the first thing that happens, we believe. That's the foundation of everything. But then it says we repent. What's happening when we repent? When we repent, we are emptying out all of the stuff in our life, all of the old stuff, all of the sin, all of the mess that we've been walking in. We begin to empty that out. That's why it's important. We talked about confession, that whenever I confess my sins to someone and I tell them these are the things that I've done in my life, I am emptying those things out. And that's one of the ways that I find freedom over those sins, is to learn how to confess and empty those things out. But then the Bible says that we get baptized in water. We are washed in the water. So what's happening is now we're emptying all the bad out, and then we have to, what, clean it, right? So we're washed, we're emptied, I mean, and we're cleaned. How many of you guys have ever had either a sippy cup with milk in it that gets left in your car, or a workout cup with protein shake in it that gets left in your car? Anybody know that feeling? And so you're driving along and it's just this smell of death is on you and you don't know where it comes from, and you get out and you look all in your car and you can't find death, and then eventually one day right before you sell your car because you can't find the smell, you see that cup jammed up underneath your seat and you open it up and it's just a horrible, horrible sensation, right? When Perry and I were younger, and I don't mean younger like five, but when we were younger in our marriage and in our married life, and we did not have the money that we have now, which still necessarily isn't a lot, but we didn't have a lot back then. I can't believe how we survived. But when we didn't have a whole lot, I remember getting those cups out. Now, nowadays, if I pull out an old workout cup, it's going in the garbage can, like immediately. It's just from there straight to the garbage can. I'll go to the store. I'll buy a new one. But in those days, it wasn't about buying new stuff, and especially when it came to baby sippy cups, and we would wash those things out, and I remember you'd have to dump all the old milk out, and it would all come out in one chunk, right? Just boom, there's the milk, and so you pick it up and throw that part away, and then you got to scrub out the inside, and I would scrub it, and we'd go buy the special scrubbers from Walmart, you know, and then you heat up the water. You do anything you can to clean that thing out, right? And so that's what God's doing in us through repentance and baptism, is He is emptying us out and He is cleaning us out. But Jesus said that there's a danger in being clean and empty. There's a danger in being clean and empty, because Jesus said that any evil spirit that's kicked out of a place will try to come back into the place with even more of his friends if he can find it clean and empty. So it's important that we don't just leave ourselves clean and empty. It's important that we are filled up with something. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. That we have to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and a lot of times people get freaked out when you start talking about the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Testament, the word Holy Spirit was used as the breath of God, the Spirit of God. That Adam was good when he was made as dirt and clay, and God created a human being, but it was clean and empty. It had nothing inside of it until God breathed the Spirit into him. So it's important to see that we can't just be clean and empty. We also have to be filled. There has to be someone living inside of us. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand that the new birth is four separate actions that all work together. Have you ever built a house before? Probably not everybody. I haven't, but I've seen people build houses. You know, whenever you build a house, you can build a foundation. That's one of the first things you got to do is have a foundation. You got to have a good foundation. And then you can actually put up a roof. You know, you have a couple of pylons or whatever, a couple of towers. You put the roof up there, a couple of columns, I should say, not towers. And you put a roof up there. I was watching a guy, one of my neighbors that lives down my road, they're building a barn. And I watched them. They put the foundation first. And then they had a couple of columns put up, and they started putting up a roof on top of it before they even got all the walls up. And then they put the walls up, right? And so that was three different things happening in order to create. Now, they could have just had a foundation and gone out there and sleep on some sleeping bags, right? You could have a roof over something, and it makes a really good place to get out of the rain. You can put walls on something, and then it becomes a good storage building. But it doesn't become a home until someone's living inside of it. There's another house down my road. And if you go down my road, you'll see this house, and it's broken down. It's nasty. It's falling apart. And you know, the interesting thing, like you can see, you can go to YouTube or go to the internet, and you can find pictures of cities that have been abandoned and places that have been abandoned. And it's amazing to see how things just fall apart when no one lives in the building. It doesn't matter how good the foundation is and the walls are and the roof is. Those are all great. But unless someone is living there, then the building eventually begins to fall apart. And so we need to understand that there are four separate acts here to this thing called new birth, but they are all essential to each other. You can't just pick and choose which ones you want. We need all four. And what we do sometimes is we begin to combine different ones, or we begin to change what the Scripture said. So what we're going to do today, just for today, is we're going to try to just go with what the Bible says. Can we do that? Is that okay with everybody? Instead of worrying about what our last church said, instead of worrying about what our last pastor said, instead of worrying about what I said, a year ago, let's worry about what the Bible says today. And here's what Jesus said, and I like this. I mean, not Jesus, this is what they said, and Peter said. He said, so let everyone in Israel know, this is Acts 2, verse we've been saying, let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. The first thing you got to do is believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is Lord and Messiah, right? So that's Jesus. Then he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. So there's God involved in there. So we got to believe in Jesus. We got to turn to God by repenting of our sins. And we got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You need to notice that there are four separate things happening to make one thing happen, right? So four separate actions to being born again. Now, what we do sometimes is we start to merge some of these actions together. I've heard people say that you receive the Spirit the moment you believe. I've heard people say you receive the Spirit the moment you repent. I've heard people say you receive the Spirit the moment you get baptized. I've heard people say that you receive the Spirit the moment you believe, but you don't get baptized with the Spirit or filled with the Spirit until later on. I've heard people say that you get half of the Holy Spirit at one point and you get another half of Him later. I've heard people say a lot of stuff and it doesn't make any of it right. Right? We don't split the Holy Spirit in half. We can't do that. We can't divide Him. He's God. He's either all there or He's all not, right? But at the same time, you got to understand, we can't start merging parts together either, right? You don't cut the umbilical cord before you pull the baby out. There's certain things that have to go in an order here to make things work the way they're supposed to work. And we see the four separate actions in this. Check this out. This is just the Bible. Let's just worry about the Bible. Acts chapter 8, verses 12, 14 through 17. But now the people believed, they believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And as a result, many men and women were baptized, right? When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Notice something. They believed, they were baptized, but they had not yet received. They were clean and empty, but they hadn't received. Different things. It's important that they all happen. How do I know it's important? Because the apostles, the church in that day, they said, hey, look, there's something happening over here. There are people believing. There are people being baptized. We understand they probably were repenting as well to be in the same order here. But they said, there's something missing. They have not yet received. This is important enough for us to send people over there to make sure they receive. Acts chapter 10. The order is out of order, but it's okay. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. It says, even as Peter was saying these things. So Peter is preaching the message of the cross to Cornelius and his family. Now you need to understand Cornelius already believed. He already believed in God. He was already serving God. He was already a good man. He just didn't know Jesus yet. And so Cornelius, Jesus is being preached by Peter to Cornelius. And it says, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them all to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's water. Afterwards, Cornelius asked for him to hang out for a little bit. He wanted to have dinner. Acts chapter 19. Check this one out. Verses 1 through 6. When Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several, what? Believers, not sinners, believers. So these guys have already done step one. They believed. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. That's where a lot of churches are today. We don't even know there's a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. They said, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's water. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There was about 12 men in all. So what are we saying? We're saying that these are separate events according to Scripture. When you look at the book of Acts, we see different things happening. But it doesn't mean that we pick and choose the ones we want. This is not Golden Corral, right? So there's a new restaurant in Auburn called Old Time Restaurant, I guess. I don't know. But when we went there, when we went to visit my parents a while back on spring break, they took us to this place and Colt got to go. Now, if you don't know my son Colt, then you don't know how much he loves to eat, especially sweets. And he walked into this place and there's this huge buffet of food. And he says, I can just get whatever I want. My parents were like, yeah, man, just get whatever you want. And he said, and for dessert, can I just get any of it? And they were like, yeah, go to town. He said, this is the greatest place in the whole world, right? Why? Because when he's with mom and dad, we make him eat certain things. Because what we fix is what you eat. So you're going to get your green beans, you're going to get your chicken, you're going to get your rice, whatever it is that we're making, that's what you're eating. But when he goes there, he can just pick the hot wings and eat all the hot wings he wants. And then he can get all the banana pudding and ice cream he wants, right? Because you just pick and choose. But with Christ, we don't pick and choose what we want in salvation. We do what the Scriptures tell us to do. God isn't running a Golden Corral. He's not the old-time buffet. He's God. And he set some things up for us. to help us. Look, this is a little bit off script here, but we were singing that song earlier, and it talked about picking up my pieces or whatever. And whenever you started saying that, I almost came up and took the mic. But he's talking about picking up my pieces, and it got me to thinking, God is not a willy-nilly God, right? Like, God doesn't do anything without a purpose. And so here's the thing. He gives us these four aspects for a reason, because he understands that there are four different aspects. There are four things that need to happen in our life. We are, as humans, broken into pieces. You know, it's one thing to get your belief right, get your mind right. But if you don't have all the junk in your life, all the sin moved out, you can believe all you want, but you still got a bunch of stuff, a bunch of pain from your past that you got to work through. And Jesus said there's two kinds of baptisms. There's baptism in water, baptism in the Spirit. One is for your past, to clean away your past. The other is for your future, to propel you and empower you to live the future that God's got for you. We need to see something here. God's in the business of putting pieces back together. He wants to take all of the pieces of your life that you've messed up, that other people have broken off of you, things that have happened to you in your past, and you're broken down into pieces. And God says, hey, you want to get saved? It's more than just fire insurance. It's more than just get out of hell free card. This is about you. This is about me loving you full body, mind, spirit, soul. I want to put you all the way back together. I don't want to just get you out of hell. I want to get you whole. And I think we miss that sometimes, and we get mad at preachers because they tell us certain aspects of what the Bible says, but all we care about is getting out of hell. But I want you to be made whole. What God has been speaking to me about my life and the life of this church is that we need to be transformed. We need to be put back together. We can't just go through life living a partial Christian life. We got to be made whole. The Bible says, this is just interesting. And when I was studying, I came across this, and I just thought it was interesting, so I threw it right in the middle of my message. Just something for us to think about today. And that is, there's certain nouns and certain verbs that the Bible uses to describe what we're talking about, the filling of the Spirit or the receiving of the Spirit. There's some nouns. The nouns are the promise. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2 that there's a promise that God's giving us. And you know what the promise is? The promise wasn't that the Holy Spirit would come upon us. The Bible says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. The promise isn't that the Spirit would be poured out, because the fact is, the Spirit was being poured out on people all the time in the Old Testament. We see the Holy Spirit moving throughout the Old Testament. The promise is that the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Now think about that for a second. What we've always been taught in my life, what I've always been taught, is that the promise of God was that the Spirit would be poured out. But then whenever I read the actual Bible, I see the Spirit moving in the Old Testament. I see Jesus having the Spirit descend upon him like a dove. So I'm thinking, wait. The promise is in Acts chapter 2, right? That's when it happens. But why is it that I see the Holy Spirit being poured out throughout Scripture? It's because the promise isn't just that he's being poured out. It's that he's being poured out on all flesh. Why is that important? That's important because some people are going to tell you that the work of the Holy Spirit is only for the apostles in the book of Acts. But the Bible never says that. The Scriptures never bear that out. The Bible says that it's for all flesh, everyone. He says for your sons and daughters. In other words, he's not just saying your immediate sons and daughters. That wouldn't make any sense. For God to pour out the Spirit on the apostles and just their sons and daughters? Well, then what about the people that got these other guys in the book? That they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or they got filled with the Spirit. Is it just for their sons and daughters? Well, then you stop it pretty early on. But the work of the Holy Spirit is for generations to come. It's for all flesh. And that's important because it used to be just for special people in special moments for special ability. But now the Bible wants all of us to be filled with His Spirit. That's the promise. It also calls it the gift. That's important because a gift is something we have to get from somebody. And God wants to give us. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit a deposit. What that means is, it's another version says, a foretaste of heaven. I love that. I love this idea that whenever we receive the Holy Spirit, right? When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are receiving a deposit of heaven. We are receiving a foretaste of heaven. I heard a story of in the Arab world of a church, there, a Christian church, and this Muslim that lived nearby, he commented about the Christian church, and he said, those people in that building have 1 foot on earth and 1 foot in heaven. Wouldn't that be amazing if people came into this building and they said, these people have 1 foot in heaven. These people understand something I don't have. They've got something I don't get. They've got 1 foot in heaven. He's a deposit. The Bible also calls the Holy Spirit the filling of the Holy Spirit or the receiving of the Holy Spirit a renewal. A renewal. I love that. I think that's pretty cool too. I think about people that restore old vehicles, right? And they get in there and they put in a new engine and they put new paint on and they do all the wiring and they restore these things. They take something that was once good, got broken down, and they absolutely restore it back to its original purpose. I like that. But then the Bible uses more verbs than they do nouns. And so the verbs are really cool. The verbs are to be given, right? Something's got to be given. It's from God. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we manufacture. It's something that's given to us. The Bible says it's received. The Bible says you are baptized. It used baptized. And we remember from last week that baptized means to be plunged into something. So in other words, this whole Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, it's not just receiving it, it's being plunged into it. The Bible says to be filled. It says to be fall upon, to come upon, to be poured out upon. A lot of liquid terms here because the Bible always uses oil in the Old Testament to represent the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And he's talking about things being poured out on you, to be filled up with something, to be covered with something. It says we are sealed and anointed. Aren't those verbs pretty cool? To me, it amazes me. What we do sometimes is we try to distinguish. I remember growing up and hearing about the Holy Spirit in my church. We were always trying to distinguish, were you filled or were you baptized? And what's the difference in the two? But then the Bible would say something was poured out on somebody. I said, well, I don't know where that one fits in. We'll just scoot that one to the side. You know, and we begin to make up stuff. But in here, Paul and Peter and all the guys that are writing about it, they use all of these terms interchangeably to talk about the receiving of the gift or the promise or the deposit or the renewal. My second to last thought today And we're just scratching the surface. I had someone come to me this week and they wanted to talk about church and talk about, you know, different things, biblical things. And they were asking me some stuff about the Holy Spirit. And I said, I can give you a thumbnail. Like, I can give you a little bit. In the hour of our conversation, I cannot even come close to scratching the surface of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in our lives. And the same is true today. A lot of what we need from God, we think we can get it all from a preacher. But the fact is, we can only get it all from God. And I want to encourage all of you, after I get done with this message today, I want to encourage all of you, you need to seek out the experience of being born again. Some of you may have never truly believed. You showed up at church, and that was good. But showing up at church doesn't help you. I mean, going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian, right? Like, it doesn't save you. Maybe you believed and you never repented, and so you're still struggling with your past. Maybe you got baptized, but you didn't really understand that what's happening in the physical is a representation of something that's spiritually going on inside of you, and you thought it was just a symbol, but really it's something, it's God doing something inside of you, cleaning you up. Maybe you've done all those things, but you've never really received the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, experience God for yourself. Don't wait on church to push an experience on you. You push into your own experience. But we need to keep going. The evidence of the Holy Spirit, of receiving the Holy Spirit, is in the overflow. The evidence is in the overflow. One time, I was on my way to Arkansas. I believe it was Arkansas. And our family, I think, was smaller then, but we piled in a rental car. My parents were going with us. We're going to go see my dad's mom, Meemaw. If you've heard me talk about my Meemaw car, we were going to see Meemaw when she was still alive. And so we piled into this rental car and we are driving to Arkansas. We stop at a gas station, and when we stop at this gas station, it's kind of on a hill, and we get out. And so, you know, you stick the thing in there, you start filling it up. And then my dad was like, hey, I'm going to go inside, get something to drink. I was like, yeah, I'll go in there with you. And so we both go in the gas station, and the kids and Perry and my mom, they're all back in the car. And I come back out. When I come back out, I just go around to the passenger side and I look kind of through the car, and I can see that, man, this car is like guzzling some gas. And I'm thinking, yo, this thing is crazy, because it was like a Suburban or something big like that. And we were already up to like 70, 80 bucks worth of gas and climbing towards $90 worth of gas. And I go in, I was like, Dad, are you sure? I mean, how much gas? And then Dad comes out and we look, and the nozzle didn't have the sensor, or the sensor was broken, and gasoline was spilling over the side and all down. And I remember I said it was on a hill. We didn't notice it because it was all going downhill like a river of gasoline just pouring out all down this gas station. And that was a very expensive fill up. And we got in the car and I was like, let's go fast, you know, and hope nobody comes by smoking, you know, like let's get out of here. And I think we may have told somebody, I don't know. There was a big explosion behind us when we left, so you can never tell. But what happens whenever you fill something up, it eventually overflows, right? It eventually overflows. This morning, the coffee maker, someone filled up the top of it, it overflowed, right? There's coffee, there's water that overflows. You got this overflow thing happening. And so the same is true with the Spirit. Whenever you're filled up with something, whatever's inside of you is what's going to flow out. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. Most often in the New Testament, when we start reading about it, about the Holy Spirit, the evidence is almost always something coming out of people's mouth. That's not me speaking. That's what the Bible says. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the Scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So in the New Testament, there's always something happening. When people receive the Holy Spirit, there's always something that comes out of them, right? There's always something that comes out of them, out of the overflow. The most common thing in the Bible is verbal things. When we read it, we'll see languages, we'll see prophecy, we'll see praise, we'll see people cry out. You see all these things coming out of people. And there's a difference between being uncontrollable and unintentional. Sometimes we think that if I receive the Spirit, I don't want to receive the Spirit because I don't want something taking over my body and making me look like a puppet and moving my mouth or saying something. God is not in the business of possession, right? Like, His goal is not to possess you. His goal is to fill you. And whatever's in you is what flows out of you. Some people teach that you've got to, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit or filling of the Spirit or receiving the Spirit. They teach that it's going to be tongues that comes out of you. And I hate the word tongues because so often it gets such a negative connotation. And we get scared of tongues because so-and-so in my last church, they did something. They were blurting out in tongues. And this person told me that tongues are of the devil. Can I just tell you the word tongues in the Bible is glossolalia. It means languages that God can allow. So Book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they begin to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to do so. And other people heard them speaking in other languages, and they heard them speaking their own personal languages. So that's all that is. But in the Bible, we see people prophesy. That means say something that they wouldn't normally know what to say, but it's a message from God. We see people praise God. We see people speak in other languages. These things happen in the Bible. There was an old missionary one time, and he was very reserved and very very passive kind of fellow, but he felt like his ministry in this other country was just not going anywhere. He wasn't doing anything for God, and he felt very upset, you know, that nothing was happening. And so he talked to a friend of his, and the friend of his said, you know, well, have you ever received the Spirit? Much like Paul said, you know, or Peter would say, you know, have you received the Spirit? And he said, no, I've never received the Spirit. And he said, well, let's pray about that. Let's ask God. And he began to pray. And as he began to pray and he began to ask God to receive his Spirit, as he did, the guy just blurted out, hallelujah, just real loud. And it scared the guy that was praying with him because he said he had never heard this guy raise his voice over anything in his whole life. He said, the guy just blurted out and he said, was that it? You know, and he said, it's good enough for me. You know, the Bible says something's going to come out of you. That praise came out of you. That wasn't even normal for you. And the guy said, okay. He said within the next month, two or three people had been healed under that guy's ministry. And he began to touch many people's lives because he was filled with the Spirit. Now, there wasn't anything super crazy. For some of y'all, screaming out hallelujah would be super crazy, but not for everybody. And that, it wasn't anything crazy. But there's a difference between unintentional and uncontrollable. Unintentional means you don't necessarily intend for it to happen, but it happens. This past week, I went to physical therapy. And while I was at physical therapy, the therapist, my shoulder hurts. And so the therapist was doing what they call dry needling. Have you ever had this done? It's torture, right? And so I felt like I was like a POW or something. So he's sticking me. He sticks needles in my arm, and I look over. And when I look over, there are like six or eight needles sticking out of my shoulder. And then he applied the electricity. Listen, he hit something down in my shoulder. And when he did, immediately my hands did like that. My feet kicked out, and sweat just poured out of my calves, not anywhere else on my body, not my forehead, not my armpits, my calves. And I was laying on one of these tables, you know, the like leather-ish, you know, pleather tables. Immediately there was a puddle of water under my calves. I didn't necessarily mean for that to happen, but it happened. I was a little bit embarrassed, but I remember this guy's electrocuting me, so it's okay. You know, I'm gonna. So we get kind of freaked out sometimes, but it's not uncontrollable. It's not somebody controlling you. It's something unintentional, possibly. And the other thing I want to point out on this is sometimes we get freaked out by the idea of tongues. And I just want to say this. God would never put something in the Bible that's good and then not expect you to use it. Like, He would never put something in the Bible to hurt you. And you need to understand that. The Bible is not God. When you approach the Bible and you approach studying the Word of God, I never approach studying the Word of God from the point of it could be wrong. I never approach studying the Word of God from the point of it's not for me. There's just not enough Scripture or any Scripture to back that thought up. So when I approach the idea of tongues, first of all, I've got to understand that tongues is a gift. And I also have to understand that it may not be what happens to me. I may prophesy. I may, you know, yell out hallelujah. I don't know. Something may happen. It may not be tongues. So I have to approach it from the idea of if it's in the Bible, it's possibly for me. Right? It's something that I might need to investigate. The Bible talks about Paul. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, I speak in tongues more than any of you guys. Like, it's something he did on a regular basis. Why? Because it was his way of praying. The Bible says that tongues is how you are edified. It's a prayer for you, from you to God. And so we need to understand that it was something that was given to the believer to edify the believer. It wasn't given to edify everybody else in the world. It was given to edify the believer. We need to understand that Paul regulated the use of tongues in church because some people abuse it. Any of the gifts, and it's not just tongues, it's anything that God does in us that becomes vocal, people will tend to abuse. That's why I'm very careful to ever say, thus saith the Lord, right? I don't go up to people and say, God said for me to tell you this, without first prefacing it with, you know what, I could be wrong, but I feel like God is saying this. Why do I do that? Because I want to be very careful never to abuse something that God is doing in my life. But we see people all the time that have abused all of these things. All you got to do is turn on, you know, I'm not even going to say about the current guys because I don't know. I don't watch TBN. But turn on old videos of preachers, and a lot of times you'll see them abuse this stuff. You'll see them abuse this stuff. You'll see them fake things. So we're not in the business of faking anything. I don't want anybody to ever fake something because you think it's what you're supposed to do. But we need to understand that Paul said he had to regulate it because people were messing around with it. But for him, it was a personal prayer. And he said there's no regulation on personal prayer. You can pray all you want, and you should pray all you want. So we'll bring it to the last thing. How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. You believe, you repent, you're baptized, right? Like these are all the things that we've been talking about. You believe, you repent, you're baptized. The thing that we got to remember is sometimes we've been taught so many negative things, and we've been taught in error, or we've been taught people's opinion versus what the Scripture says. And because we've been taught people's opinion and not what the Scripture says, then what happens is we go into receiving something from God that we'll never get because we don't really believe it. We don't really believe it. And so we've got to go in with the mindset of beyond what Gabriel says, beyond what my pastor, old pastor said, beyond what the TV evangelist said, I'm going to go in and use the Scriptures and I'm going to pursue God for myself and see what He does in my life. So you got to believe, you got to repent. In the Bible, almost exclusively, like most of the times, not all of the times, but most of the times, whenever someone received, hands were laid on them. The Bible says that the disciples would lay hands on people. What does that mean? They're praying for them. They're laying hands on them. I don't understand how all that works, and I don't claim to know it, how it all works, but I do know this. In the Bible, the use of the physical and the spiritual are combined. God uses physical things to do spiritual things all the time. He uses spiritual things to produce physical results all the time. All you got to do is look through Scripture. In the Old Testament, Naaman was told to go dip in a river 7 times and he would be healed. Why 7 times? I have no idea. But God uses the physical to produce something in the spiritual. The children of Israel were told to march around the Jericho 7 times. Why? Because God uses the physical act of obedience to produce a spiritual result. For some reason, in the book of Acts, when they prayed for people, they put their hands on them and prayed for them. There's nothing scary about that as long as the people doing it don't abuse it. And I'm looking around. I don't know if we have any guests here today. I don't think we do. Most of us are home folks. And I just want you to know something. Our prayer team are people that we trust. I've been to churches before where they abuse these things. I've been in meetings before where people would slap you in the face or push you and try to shove you down. And you know what? That's not God. And it's not comfortable. And that's abuse. There's a difference. At our church, we take it very serious. And so prayer team people, if they ever pray for you for anything and they put hands on you, it's going to be light, right? It's going to be just strictly out of obedience what the Bible talks about, laying hands on the sick, laying hands on people for them to recover, laying hands on people to receive the Spirit. It's not a matter of I'm trying to grab you and shake you and move you around. I hate those things. I hate those things, and that's not what we're all about. The other thing the Bible says is this, is you got to ask or pray. The Bible says Jesus was baptized in water, comes up out of the water, prays, Holy Spirit comes down. It's interesting how it followed that pattern that he prayed and then the Holy Spirit came down upon him. He did that to show us what we need. In Luke chapter 11, and this is where we'll end today. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. This is Jesus speaking. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. These are words he's using for prayer. He's saying prayer is like seeking, asking, and knocking, but not just one time. It's not just one knock on the door. It's a keep on knocking. It's a keep on seeking. It's a keep on asking, right? And he says, keep on doing it. He says, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. Now let me pause for a second. In the Bible, oftentimes snakes and scorpions are used as demonic spiritual forces. The Bible says that with the authority of Christ, we will be able to pick up snakes, to tread on scorpions. He's not talking about we really pick up snakes. We don't do that in church. We're not going to go walking around on scorpions. I don't do that either. I do walk on them with shoes, right? Then I walk hard. What he's talking about is he said you're going to have authority over spiritual forces. But he says this. He says you're not going to give somebody a snake or a scorpion. Verse 13, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He's saying, look, the Holy Spirit's not of the devil. The Holy Spirit is who lives inside of you. It's who lives inside of you. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will bring life to your mortal body. Jesus said He wants you to have life and life more abundant. That only happens by allowing the Spirit of God to live inside of us. I'm super proud that you're clean. I'm super proud that you're empty. I'm super proud that you're baptized and that you believe. But is there a Spirit of God living inside of you? For a lot of us, I believe there is. I mean, I believe a lot of you guys have come up to me and you've never had the same experience as I have. Maybe you've never had the, you know, coming down to the front at a church service and people laying hands on you and you screaming out. Maybe you never had that same exact experience, and that's okay. But I've heard some of you come up to me and you've said, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me something. He spoke to me. He led me to do something. The Spirit of God woke me up in the middle of the night. I've heard some of you tell me that. Why is that happening to you? Because the Spirit lives in you. You've received the Spirit. But some of us, we haven't done that yet. Won't you stand up with me this morning? I know right off the bat, for some of us, this is difficult waters to swim in. I get it. It's difficult waters for me to preach in. Okay? It's hard for me, not because I don't believe it. It's hard for me because I was raised a certain way. And some of what I'm saying today changes the way I was always brought up to believe. It changes some of it. And then I start thinking, man, I had it wrong, you know? I messed up something. But that's where God's grace comes in. He loves you. He'll never hurt you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He wants to live in you through His Spirit. So this morning we're going to pray. And here's what I want to pray. I'm going to just pray that what Jesus said would happen to each and every one of us. That we would ask, we would seek, and we would knock. And not only would we do it one time, but we would keep on doing it in pursuit of an experience with His Spirit. God, right now, I just pray for everybody in this room. And God, I pray that You would help us to look beyond the message, God. The message is just here to shake us up, to open our eyes, to reveal some things. But at the end of the day, it's all about You, God. It's all about You. And it's all about our experience with You. The Bible says that You walked with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden. Your desire is to have a one-on-one relationship with each and every one of us in here. God, this is not a group date. This is for each individual today that we should be pursuing You, knowing You, seeking You. And so, God, I pray right now that each and every one of us would find that opportunity, that we would seek You, that we would seek You, that we would seek to be cleansed and emptied out from our sins. Some of us have been holding on to some junk from our past for so long, and we need to repent of it, we need to confess it, we need to let it go. For some of us, God, we've never really believed in You. We've done the church thing. We've showed up on Sunday mornings and we've listened to the messages, but we don't really believe. It doesn't change us. It doesn't change our minds. But God, we want to believe today. We want to know for certain that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the only way to get to heaven. We want to believe that today. For some of us, God, we've never received the Spirit. We've never received the Spirit. So I pray today that You would help us to receive Your Spirit. And let us receive it without fear today, without worry about what other people are going to think, without worry about what our life is going to be like. That we could just receive Your Spirit, and whatever You've got for us, that's what we get. Help us to live our lives like these guys in the book of Acts, that the Bible says turn the world upside down. Our world needs to be turned upside down. Our world needs to be transformed. But the guys who did it, we're full of the Spirit. So today we want all that You have for us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.